Welcome to the Quick Talk Podcast with Joshua Latimer, where we discuss business, life, family, faith, struggle, fire, pain, and ultimately winning.
It's time to take massive action. Look, I can't work harder on your life or business than you do.
It's ultimately all on you.
You know, God created all the food the birds would ever need, but he doesn't put it in their nest. You've got to go get it.
10 out of 10 people die. So how about doing something today that actually matters while you still can? Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Quick Talk Podcast. It's me, Josh, listening to me again on another day. Can you believe it? How often am I inside of your ears? What is wrong with you people? No, maybe it's because of all the cool people I interview and the value that we work really hard to deliver you. Maybe that's why you keep showing up. Now, and no matter what the reason is, I'm thankful for you. And today I'm joined by a good friend of mine named Brennan Williams. Now, Brennan is pretty popular on Facebook. He has a really, really amazing brand for his service company. And the funny part is, it's actually his second brand. He's already built and sold a company called Soap and Water. And I'll let him tell the story, but Brennan is going to talk to us today about branding and kind of his story and all things related to that. Thank you for your time, Brennan. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great, Josh. Thanks for having me.
I'm super excited to talk to you. I want to do more interviews this year and try to kind of stack them up. It's hard to pin people down with timing and stuff, but you've made time. I'm thankful. You have a really cool story, and we've known each other just casually for several years. We've talked in the past. I remember when you had your original company. I forget what state that was, right? But you had rebranded it in an effort to get it sellable. Can you tell us your background and talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, sure. So I started a company called New Albany Window Cleaning back in the spring of 2008. My goal with that was to work part-time with my wife. We were both doing volunteer work. So we wanted to work, you know, 3 days a week and just take care of some basic needs. So I saw window cleaning as an opportunity, you know, low barrier to entry. So I started this window cleaning company in our little town, and things really started to take off. Year two, I had the need to hire a part-time assistant to help me kind of keep up with things. Year three, I hired a full-time assistant, and then things really started to pick up. So year four, we saw the need to kind of change direction a little bit. So we took on the challenge of rebranding our company. So we wanted to position ourselves not just as a window cleaning company and not just in this one small town or village that we were living in, but we wanted to be accessible to all of the Central Ohio area. So we spent weeks and weeks, maybe even months, trying to come up with a new name that we could use to build a brand around. And it's really difficult in this industry to come up with a unique brand because there's so many businesses out there, so many small businesses that a lot of the names have already been used. So I had an epiphany. One day we were out shopping and Soap and Water just popped in my head. And I asked my wife, what do you think about Soap and Water? And it was just like, yeah, let's do it. It just seemed like a kind of modern and so obvious, but never used name. And we, you know, went through the kind of anxious times of, you know, we're changing our name, you know, our website, you know, our customers going to get confused? Are they going to be able to find us? All of that. But
yeah, it's a major ordeal to change a brand completely, especially if you're 3 or 4 years in like you were. And by the way, it's hard for people listening to visualize it, but I just encourage you guys to just do some Googling on this, because Soap and Water is a really strong brand. You know, the way that his vehicles were wrapped, and there's like these like waves, and it was just really, really clever the way that they came up with the design. And on it pivots nicely into what I really want to ask you about, which is how important is branding? Because you didn't just pick a cool name. You wrapped your entire company in the brand, everything, the literature, the uniforms, the vehicles. It had a whole new kind of feel to it. How important is that for people that are listening? And what did it do for you when you had made that change?
Oh, absolutely. So I say brand everything. I mean, you immediately think of shirts, your trucks, your business cards, your website. But I'm talking brand your estimates. Make sure your brand is on your invoices. Make sure your brand is on giveaways. Make sure your brand is on things like we just put our logo and a little kind of caption on our insurance certificate. On our W-9, it's got our logo on it. So, I mean, I make every effort to brand everything in my business because it really shows like a cohesiveness. With soap and water, our trucks had, you know, this big water wave down the side, soap bubbles on the top, you know, our nice professionally designed logo. Our business cards had the same water wave and soap bubbles, and our shirts, everything was very consistent. And I find it super important to build a consistent look because it does quite a few things for your business. It helps people to have like a confidence that you know what you're doing, even before you actually perform a service for them. They just have a confidence that as a business that you're established.
Yeah, and people hear me talk about perceived value all the time on the show. I've kind of like beat it like a dead horse. But this is the kind of stuff we're talking about. Imagine Brennan has his amazing brand all set up, right? And they're competing against Joe Schmo over here. And Joe is a better cleaner than Brennan is, right? Because Joe spent more time perfecting his squeegee skills, right? But Brennan was focusing on the back end of the business, the structure, the branding, the perceived value, the process, the way the literature looks, the way he prices his packages, the way he presents. Who's going to win when they go head to head? It's pretty obvious. Pretty obvious question. And for anybody listening that's very technically focused and is really passionate about the art form of whatever service they provide, it probably makes you angry that someone like Brennan would win, because he will win at a higher price almost every single time. And it's because of all the psychology going on in our brains. We feel better when there's this professional company standing in front of us. And all they have to go on at that point is the perception of your company, because they haven't even hired you yet. Right, Brennan?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it's right. It's completely psychological. And that's what I've been working on with our new brand, because we grew soap and water to the point where, you know, we had our trademarks in place. We had a really strong following in Ohio. We were the top rated cleaning company in all of Ohio as far as Google ratings went. And I was able to sell it to a few local people because they saw the strength of the brand, the image, and all of that, and thought, you know, they could take it into other markets. So here I am with the challenge of moving and starting a new brand. And that's what I've been working on for the last 3 months now, is establishing all of these all of the image things, the truck graphics, the website, the way that our invoices feel, our presentation folders, our plastic business cards, everything about our brand. And we haven't done any work yet, but it's taken me 3 months to just get all of this together because, like you said, somebody with a very strong brand or a very strong image, even before a reputation has been established, that brand is going to go a huge distance to put people at ease that they are dealing with somebody that knows what they're doing. So I encourage everybody to, you know, give it serious thought of what, how, you know, how your company is coming across before you even talk about what you do. It's just how you look and how you feel.
Oh, yeah. And I always tell people, you should always be building a sellable business. It doesn't matter if you actually want to sell it. I don't care if you don't want to sell it, but build it so that it is sellable. It protects you. It brings stability. There's a lot of side benefits, too, I think, to having a strong brand. Even going back to like employees, you want your employees to feel like they have an actual career, a real future. If you're small, like I was, and you have your first few employees showing up to your house, I would be handwriting out their schedules like on a piece of paper sitting on this little plastic Little Tykes like table in my garage. Like, that's not a career, right? And it's okay because, you know, we don't despise humble beginnings, but you should be moving as quickly as you can towards establishing the brand, or at least the perception of a brand, like beginning the process. A lot of you guys have been in business for 10 or 15 years and you really haven't went deep on this. Brennan started and then pivoted his brand with his company and then scaled it up and sold it for a significant chunk of change because it did very well. And now he's doing it again. And I find it really interesting that the first thing he's doing, because I think you moved states, right, Brennan?
Yeah, we moved several hundred miles away from Ohio to Tennessee.
Right. And the first thing you're doing is investing like months up front just on getting the branding and the perceived value right before you even worry about building the business, right?
Yeah,
like, I think that's fascinating.
Yeah, it's funny. We had a friend over last night and her husband, I helped him get a pressure washing business started here in East Tennessee, I think 2 years ago, before I ever thought about moving down here. So we actually work in the same market now, but her husband does pressure washing and roof cleaning. And she said, "Man, I want you to do my house because just the look, like the look of your truck, everything, it's like, I want you to come and service my house," which I thought was really funny since her husband does the same work. But it's interesting. We've already had people on Facebook that have shared posts of ours that have let their friends know or commented, "Hey, you need to have this company work for you. They're a great company." And I'm like, I've never worked for this person. I haven't worked for anyone that they know. We've only done 5 jobs since we've been here. So it's just, you know, very small, you know, select few people that we've worked for. And yet people are already, you know, noticing us and recommending us and that.
That's insane. That is not normal. But for everybody that's listening, make some time and Google Brennan's new company. Do you have a website up yet, or should they go on Facebook?
It's einsteinssmartwash.com. You can also go to smartwashtn, like Tennessee, smartwashtn.com. And you'll find our website there. Our website, to talk about like brand cohesiveness, our website looks exactly like our presentation folders, you know, looks just like our vehicle, our truck. We have a big box truck that's wrapped, looks just like our business cards. It's not haphazard. It's all very, you know, planned. And
it's intentional. It's intentional.
No, completely intentional.
Yeah. I think people just, there's so many elements. So you got the employees that feel like they have a real brand, a real company. And this also applies when you get your first shop. Like when you finally get out of the house and get a location, that is a humongous mental breakthrough for you as the owner and for your team. Like your business will double or triple just from doing that in a lot of cases because it's all in your brain. Well, the same is true if you have a strong brand and everything is like your uniforms and you have ID badges and your invoices and your everything, like Brennan's talking about. I think it's just big mentally for us, our confidence, the way that we price things, the way we sell things. You're going to raise your average ticket. I guarantee that Brennan's average ticket went up after he rebranded to soap and water. I didn't even ask you that before, but that has to be true, correct?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we did really well because, again, people just saw us as, you know, as a leader in our market for the services that we provided. So, I mean, if you can deal with an authority, or you can deal with, you know, a much smaller company or somebody that doesn't, you know, might do a good job, but doesn't have that presence or that instill that confidence in you, obviously the authority is going to be able to charge a premium.
You can basically manufacture your own authority just by branding yourself correctly. Like, even if it wasn't true, which I hope it's true, like, be honest, actually be awesome at your job. But even if you weren't, doing this just instantaneously makes you a recognizable expert in your field. It's a huge deal. And it also not just affects your employees and your own mentality and your pricing. Think about how your customers feel. We are home service companies. We go to people's homes. You think a mom that has three kids, she's in there watching the news about how ISIS is chopping someone's head off, and then she has her appointment to get an estimate, and she kind of cracks the door open and looks out, right? Like, the world is nuts. Like, our brand matters. Your perceived value matters, not just financially, but the whole customer experience is just better, right?
Oh, absolutely. And I was talking with a print marketing company this morning, and you know, we were just discussing how you know, obviously how the look and feel of everything is, and yeah, it totally having that image you know, helps people have confidence, and you know, it goes a huge distance in allowing you to grow your business.
So what are your plans with this one, Brennan? Are you going to build and sell it and just keep moving to different states and doing this? Is this like your weird, creepy hobby for you or something? What's the plan?
Oh, no. If I could sell this one, then yeah, that would be nice. That would make me feel, you know, that'd probably be good for the ego. But I think this time around, and in talking with mentors of mine, you know, I think I would like to grow this one and automate it and just have it run and kind of be that goose that lays a golden egg. You know, if I can have this business to where it's just operating super, you know, like a well-oiled machine, and it's not all consuming of my time and energy, and it can be very, you know, profitable for me, then, you know, I kind of don't see the need to sell it. I'll just have it do its thing and provide what I need, and, you know, kind of why get rid of that? So, well,
that's what's so cool about home services. You know, stuff keeps getting dirty over and over. Right. If you have the right structure, the right team, the right systems, the right, you know, the back end stuff in place, even though it can be a pain to set up, once you have it, it's like a little money box, and it can, you might have to maintain it and change the oil in it and, you know, spit shine it once in a while, but it's a little money box is what it is. And so you did the automate, grow, sell on the first one. This one, you're just going to automate and grow and hold. Automate, grow, hold.
automate, grow, hold. But like you said, build it to sell. If somebody comes through and makes me an offer I can't refuse, and I can, you know, pivot into, you know, some sort of job that allows me to continue to get the bills paid, then, you know, I'm completely open to that. But so, I mean, like you said, you have to have it with the idea that it's always sellable. But, you know, maybe this time around I'll hold on to it. But again, kind of going back to branding, you have to make your company desirable, you know, to somebody that would you know, potentially invest in it or buy it.
Oh yeah, there's so many benefits. We could go on and on and on. And what's really cool about, like, selling a business is, to me, what you're doing is you're getting paid up front for time. So for example, if your business kicks you off $100,000 a year in personal income, and you kind of like do some work to get that, but it's kind of automated and stuff, and you can sell that for a multiple of five, and you can get $500,000 right now, let's say. What you're doing is you're buying 5 years of your pay all in one chunk. Now, it doesn't last forever. Most home service companies that sell don't pay out, you know, $37 million and you're not set for life or whatever, but it buys you runway, time runway.
Right.
And what's really cool, I'd be so curious. I wish I could go in a time machine for this business, Brendan, because I know you're going to get things set up and scaled way faster than you did the first time because of your skill set, because of your life experience, all the pain and suffering and stuff that you know now. And so what took you from 2008 to whenever you sold your other one, you're going to be able to do it in like 2 or 3 years. You're going to have a beast spun up with this thing. I know it.
Well, yeah, I thank you for that vote of confidence. That's completely our plan. Basically, our goals for this year are equal to what we achieved probably year five as far as revenue goes. Straight out the gate, the plan is to have a crew leader, have an assistant, and really, you know, things that took years and years to learn or to achieve with the first company. So, yeah, you know, we're trying to start year five and go from there. So it's really fun to start with the knowledge or the experience of what we've done in the past and learn from it and kind of make this company just a much tighter, better version of what we were in the past.
Yeah, and I know that you will, and I do have confidence. You're super respected. Everybody loves you. You're like the greatest, nicest guy ever. You've built and sold one super strong brand, and this one's even stronger, to be honest. Just the imagery, the concept of Einstein's smartwatch, the way you've personified the brand with your little character, your guy of Einstein and stuff. The whole thing is just super, 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 super good. So I'm excited to watch you grow, and I really appreciate you taking time to help me drive home the importance of branding to all of our listeners.
Hey Josh, can I mention a few? Do we have time that I can mention a few more points, talking points here?
Oh, absolutely. I'm sorry if I missed some. Yeah, go ahead.
No. I had just a few things that I wanted to mention. So, like you were talking about our, you know, with our logo, with the character and things there. I mean, that was an exercise and an expense that I really encourage anybody that is willing to maybe, you know, pivot, and whether it's rebrand or you're just getting started and it's, you know, from the start, have invest in your branding or your image, or maybe it's just tweaking your current brand. But what I find super frustrating, because branding is something that keeps me up at night, is seeing companies or hearing people debate on Facebook or on these forums about or comment on how cheap it was for them to get their logo designed, or, you know, comment on how, you know, this design company wanted to charge X amount of dollars for a logo and they're just put off by it. But many times companies will, you know, they'll try and go on a website like Fiverr or, you know, something just really inexpensive to have a logo designed that they're going to then put on a $3,000 wrap on a vehicle that holds $10,000 worth of equipment. You know,
that is a really good point.
They're going to invest, you know, $200 on their first, you know, 500 business cards and put this super cheap logo on it. They're going to spend $2,000 to have a website designed, and they're going to put this, you know, they only want to spend $79 on a logo.
It's not even, you're not spending anything when you have high level design work done. You're investing money. People are terrified to invest money. And you know what? In a way, it's good because it makes it so easy to kick the crap out of them in the marketplace locally. Most people, it's just the way it is. I'm not being mean. I'm not a meanie pants, okay? But someone like Brennan comes in here with all the stuff he's talking about. He will crush you when you're competing with him. He just will. It's just logic, guys. Come on. Don't be scared to invest. Sorry. Keep going.
Well, yeah. No. I mean, yeah. I was talking to a friend of mine, which I won't name, but it's funny that you mentioned that, you know, somebody with a strong brand can come into your market and really disrupt things, because he was telling me, he said, you know, Brennan, there's only a handful of people that if they moved to my town that I would be nervous about. And the reason that he said that I was in that group, you know, not to be full of myself, but it was just because of the image. You know, you have somebody with a strong image that just shows up and lets people see that, and, you know, does all of the networking or whatever it is to get that image out there. And man, people notice it, and that can be a huge disruption to your market. And I've got great people that already work here in East Tennessee, but I know that there's been a lot of conversation about Einstein's smartwatch showing up here, and you know, how it might change things. So, because people have told me that they're having those conversations, or they've had conversations with competition here. So yeah, it goes a long way to have that brand and that image.
Companies are like asleep at the wheel with their brand, with all the detail. You know, we don't spend enough time on the details, the little stuff. And it's those things that where really all the wealth is, where all the real power is in the little itty bitty nuances to your process, mm-hmm. the way you answer the phone, the voice inflection, the way that you follow up after a job, the way that you go through a checklist when you're doing your job, whatever, in your brand. Like, there's all these nuances like you talked about earlier. And mm-hmm. The fact is this, is you, half of the people listening to this should be very nervous if a strong brand comes into their town, because even though you are a good person and you do a good job and you are honest and your employees are honest, no one knows that, and they're not ever going to know it if you can't get the job in the first place. You're not going to get the job in the first place unless you are protecting your brand and like positioning yourself strong. There's no reason not to do this. Nothing we're talking about is insanely expensive. It just takes some creativity and some focused effort.
And that's really interesting that you use the word protect there, because here on my short list of things to talk about, it says brand protection and control, because all of those little things, in fact, I have on here verbal communication, phone answering script. We didn't talk about this before we got on here, but you mentioned that is a way to protect your brand. I mean, all of this is your brand. The, you know, because if you're putting yourself across as, you know, maybe it's a luxury service. If you have somebody stumbling through the way they answer their, you know, answer your phone, then that's your first impression. That's their first impression of you. And they can be really turned off and feel like it's not professional. But here you are trying to market yourselves as a luxury service or a high end, you know, not the cheapest guy in town. We deliver, you know, X, Y, and Z above the competition. So things like, yeah, even the way you answer your phone, but, you know, when it comes to your uniforms, I obsess about things like that. Even I've bought my guys the same, obviously the same shirts they're wearing, but same pants. We provide all of our pants. I've bought the guys the same belt. I've bought them boots. I mean, I want them to look like clones, you know? So our brand is protected. I don't want somebody going out there, you know, with sloppy shoes that are, you know, that are falling apart. I don't want them wearing stained pants when, even though we're spraying bleach around.
You mean you don't want your employees wearing their insane clown posse shirts when they're on the job site?
Right.
Come on, you heartless monster, Brennan.
Yeah, I don't want them wearing their own hats when they're on the job. If you want to wear a hat and you work for me, I'll buy you a hat. It's going to be a branded hat, you know, and that's the option that you have. And it might sound, you know, restrictive, but really the guys like it, you know. I'm providing all of it. I have no problem investing in what my team looks like. Now, okay, this might be a little obsessive, but I bought all of my guys gift cards to the local barber shop 2 years ago, because I wanted them to feel like keeping up their appearance wasn't like gonna, you know, hurt their bottom line.
It's important.
It's like, I went to the barber shop. and said, I want 60 haircuts. I want 10 cards with 6 haircuts on each one. And I told the guys, basically, if you get your haircut once a month, I'll pay for every other haircut, you know? So that just drops your cost of keeping yourself looking right. But the way they look impacts my brand. You know, I used to work for Abercrombie & Fitch, and a huge, you know, retailer, and brand protection was its entire, you know, an entire department. And basically their job was to find where their brand was being used and make sure that it aligned itself with the, you know, the values or the image that they wanted to get across. And if there was a conflict there, you know, these people, they were lawyers, they had investigators, whatever it took to shut that down and make sure that the image was maintained. And you have to do the same thing even when you're a small service company. Like, take your image seriously and protect it with, you know, with your heart, and make sure that you're putting across whatever, you know, whatever image that, you know, that you want your company, you know, your customers to see. From, like I said before, you know, the way our invoices feel, we print our invoices on 24 pound, you know, 98 white paper, you know. So like when people get our invoices, they touch our invoices, they think there's two pieces of paper stuck together. Like the feel of it, you know, our postcards, the high quality postcards that you with Sin Jim put together is very similar to the postcards that we would have printed on our own, you know, that super glossy.
Mm-hmm. And it costs more, but it's worth it.
Oh, it's so worth it. Mm-hmm. You know, Kevin Dubrovsky in his new book, The Whale Vomit Method 2, has a saying in there that I thought was super good. You know, budget-based services don't feel like luxuries. And you could turn it around. Luxury services don't feel like budget-based. You know, we shouldn't be using the same, you know, materials, really. And he said ultra-exclusive brands don't feel like mass-market brands. You know, if you want your company to be perceived as luxury or exclusive, you can't have it feel, and that's not just like feel like with your eyes, you know, it's feel with your hands. You can't have it feel like a budget or feel like, you know, just what's available to the masses.
So man, that is so good. You can't drop off, you know, a quote, three times more expensive than everybody else, roll up in a Chevy truck with a cutoff shirt and rip off a carbon copied quote form. Like, it's all incongruent. And I like how you brought in the example of Abercrombie and Fitch, because even though these mega corporations are like, they're totally unrelatable to us in a lot of ways, the principles of kind of how they do things are still applicable. I always use the Apple computer example of when you, I mean, Apple to me seems like it's kind of like on the decline, like they're vulnerable right now ever since Steve Jobs left, but that's a different discussion. But in general, even their packaging is better. You know, when you open the box of a MacBook Pro, you know, you spend $2,500 on a laptop, and it's sitting right next to a $300 HP, right? And you and you pull the box up, it's like suctioned onto there, and you can hear it, you know, kind of pop up. Like, all that's engineered. It's literally a thing.
And it makes you smile when you do
that. You don't want to throw the box away.
Oh, I know. Like, I just got these, Apple AirPods, you know, these little Bluetooth earbuds or whatever, and when I open the packaging, the charger cable is like coiled up with this, you know, super nice, like plasticky paper. I know in your mind it doesn't sound amazing, but it's like this, you know, laser cut piece of paper that is holding everything in this perfect coil, and you flip open the charger case for these AirPods and it immediately connects to your phone, and it's just like this seamless, super easy. Yeah, it's so much fun to purchase.
Consume their products, to engage with the brand.
They work similar to you know, other Bluetooth devices. Their phones work very similar to a Samsung. But yeah, when you pull this out of the case and it's just like form fitted and you're like, man, this is gorgeous. It just makes you smile. And that's what, that's how we want people to feel about our brand. You know, when we deliver them their quote in a presentation folder that's a matte finish, you know, super thick, obviously professionally designed, and it's got a sheet in there that basically tells them these are three reasons why you should, you know, use our service. And then it's got a sheet in there for each of the services, the core services that we offer, and why the way that we perform that core service is better than the way, you know, the masses perform that service. Like, I want people to open up that folder and touch our plastic business card and just be like, man, I want to work with these people. They just seem fun to work with. Like, look at this, you know?
They should almost be nervous to get the quote by the time you get to that part in the process. And then they're pleasantly surprised that you're only twice as much as everybody else. Because you should feel like you're going to be 10 times as much, right?
Oh, absolutely. So
well, I'll let that kind of be the final word and stand. Thanks for keeping me going on that. That would have been tragic if we wouldn't have got that part on the podcast. That was awesome.
We kind of hit our stride at about 20 minutes there. So
yeah. Yes, we did. You did a great job. Thanks for your time coming on here. Good luck with Einstein Smartwash, too. I think you're in a good market. You're closer to Knoxville, right? I'm not sure about your market.
Yeah, about 30 minutes outside of Knoxville. So, you know, give it a few months and, you know, I'd love to come back on and let you know how things are going.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Brennan, have a good rest of your week. Everybody, thank you so much for the iTunes reviews you've been giving us. They've skyrocketed up. There's so many hilarious ones. In fact, probably on maybe the next podcast, I'm going to read some of them. They're they're awesome. I should do a giveaway for the most clever iTunes review because I was cracking up reading them. So I appreciate you guys. Like and share the episodes. Don't be a greedy hoarder of really valuable information that Brendan just gave you for free. Give it to the world. Help your little buddy out who has a little lawn care business and he doesn't get it and he's not figuring it out. Help the guy out. Throw him a bone, man. Anyway, Brennan, thank you.
Thanks, Josh.
Hey, thanks for hanging out, friends. And from all of us here at the Quick Talk Podcast team, we hope you loved today's show. We hope that you were inspired to become a doer and not just a listener. Apply what you've heard today in your own business and watch things change for the better. Lastly, remember that all the money in the world can't save your soul. Seek first the kingdom of God, my friends. We'll see you next time.
For more information about the Quick Talk Podcast or Joshua's other businesses, visit our website, quicktalkpodcast.com. Have a blessed day.